37 this evening, Psalm 37. Focusing on just one verse this evening, but before we go there, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Father, it's a privilege that we can meet with you. We're grateful that you've given us a local assembly with other Christians who love you. Father, we're grateful that even though you created the universe and you are so much mightier and grander and more loving than us, that you have invited us to be your children. Thank you that you delight to teach us and to lead us. And I pray that tonight you would guide us through your word. Pray that it be all of the Holy Ghost and preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing of man. Lord, we just ask that it would be your words by your power, through your spirit, to your glory, and we'll be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his glorious name, amen. Just looking at one verse tonight, the title is The Will of God. The Will of God. Psalm 37 and verse 23. We're answering, or we're having a go at talking about part of the classic question, how can I know the will of God for my life? Obviously, there's a huge amount on this topic, and we're only going to have one sermon on it, but Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, let's read it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And once more, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. As I say, there's a lot to talk about here, but when we come to this question, it's a pretty big one that many of us will have thought about in many different parts of our lives, and it boils down to this: how can I know God's will for my life? When we think about that a bit more, hopefully we've come to a point of sincerity, that is, I want to know God's will for my life, and the question is a bit more, how does God give me his will for my life? What are God's methods? How does he teach me? There is a bit of an assumption there that we do want to do it, and we'll talk about that a bit, but let's look tonight at a bit of how God teaches us his will. I hope you'll come with me and follow an illustration of a bushwalk as we go through Psalm chapter 37, verse 23. First, we're going to look at that latter part, which is, and he delighteth in his way. We're going to unpack this verse step by step, and he delighteth in his way. A way is a pathway, and perfectly understood in a bushwalk. It's a pathway that is there because it has been trodden out. Other people have walked it. It's a place where you go. It's established. This is the way you walk. There is a pathway somewhere to go. I suggest to you that he is the good man and his way is God. There is some discussion as to whether it could go the other way, and there's merit to that. But I think in context, it's probably the good man delights in God's way. So we're going to continue on that basis. Delighteth, that is to say, to enjoy or to desire, to have something which we want. So if we flesh that out a bit, the good man, or you and I, wants to do God's way. We like to walk in God's way. If we had one word for that, we might say obedience. Obey. We like to obey. This last section, we want to sum up this third section, which is last in the passage and first for our sermon. Obedience. Let's look a little bit about obedience. If we want to know God's will for our life, we have to do what we already know about God's will for our life. The first step is to obey what we already know. If God has given us truth, if God has given us from his word and we know these things, we have to be already doing these things if we want to see more from him. I suggest this is the very first step one, repentance. If there's anyone who hasn't been born again, if you or I, if someone listening online or hearing this in the future, has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know that in Acts 17, we are explained, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Amen. If we want to know God's will, the first step is we must be children of God. We must be born again. We must see that our sin will drag us to hell, and Jesus Christ is the only lifeboat that will take us to heaven. We must see that it is new birth that it allows us to see spiritual things, So if you or I have not been born again, then this is the first step to knowing God's will. Then we need to know, all right, what has God told us through his word? We might talk about this as the general will for all Christians. What are some fundamentals? How about avoiding things that are evil, like impurity, like lying, like hatred, like stealing? All those things, we need to put them out of our lives. If we want to know God's will for our life personally, those things that are true for every Christian, they have to be already existing in our lives. On the other hand, we've got to keep walking. We need to be building a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be studying our Bibles and praying. If these basics aren't in our lives yet, if we're not born again, if we're not departing from evil, if we're not building a relationship with God, why would God want to give us all the extras? Why would he want to give us these particulars that are specially for our life? I suggest to you that God has a principle of revealing his will after we obey. Yes, he puts it out there and gives us opportunity. Yes, he explains himself and is generous. I think our next verse in discipleship is John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. At the end, I will manifest myself to him. At the beginning, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. You see how the Lord Jesus shows more of himself to the obedient Christian. He gives us enough to obey, and then when we obey, he shows us more of himself. His principle is, obey what we know, and he will give us more. We see the reverse operating in the life of poor King Saul. Unfortunately, Saul had chosen to do it his own way. He decided, you know what, I think I know the best way to sacrifice, and I think I'll take on some roles that don't belong to me, and he went his own way, not seeking God's way. And in the next chapter, in 1 Samuel 14, if you're taking notes, in the next chapter, he seeks the Lord about a particular thing. Should I go down to the Philistines? Should I go and attack down there? What a terrible way that verse finishes, 37, that God answered him not that day. Imagine seeking God and he decided to hold back from speaking. How frightening that we would want to know God's will and he would say, nothing. It doesn't have to be that way. We can have God's commandments and keep them, and then he will reveal himself. He will manifest himself to us. And not just the knowledge of his will, but his person and his character and that relationship. The choice is there. Do we take what we know and obey it? Because obedience is the first step to knowing God's will for our life. Secondly, and I'll extend to another verse here, a familiar one, Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. You see, it's God's will, it's his desire to direct our paths. He's not, we hear the idea of deism, where it's, you know, someone who created the universe and then stepped back and doesn't want to be involved in the creation. Obviously, that's heresy and blasphemy and nothing to do with the true and living God. Particularly because the true and living God does get involved with the world. He cares about you and I. He cares about what's going on in your and my life. It's his desire to lead us into righteousness and away from danger. He wants to direct our paths. In Proverbs 3:6, he says how? Acknowledge him in all our ways. Acknowledge. That's a good word. Something we sort of all familiar with that word, but when you think about it, it's, I wonder how I would define acknowledge. Well, I've done some homework here, and one definition says to know or perceive God. How about this? In my circumstance, when I want direction, to acknowledge God is to bring him to that circumstance. Maybe the other way to say that is to pray. To bring God to my present, to say this, I have a decision, Lord, I need to go this way, that way, I need to go forward or wait. Please come here and give me some guidance. Not only does praying bring God down to my circumstance and allow him to speak into this, but it also takes the responsibility and the burden off me, that burden goes upwards, that he takes the guidance responsibility. Prayer is the way we bring God and acknowledge him in all of our circumstances. What a great thing to be constant in prayer, to be always going about our lives, praying about the small things and the big things. I wonder if sometimes we find ourselves at the end of a bit of at a fork in the road, shall we say, wishing we knew the clarity on which way to go, but looking back and thinking, well, I haven't been trusting the Lord for the last however, Or those other days when it happened the other way, we come to this point and we find the answer is so clear because we have been trusting God all the way up to this time. Continuing instant in prayer, acknowledging God in every circumstance so that when the big things do come along, that's how we know His will. I guess if we wanted to summarize this third part of the verse, and He delighteth in His way, we see that we've got the illustration of a pathway. We see that God is talking about our life and the decisions of that journey, and He uses the idea of a pathway, and that's why we'll talk a little bit about a bushwalk. He says He wants us to stay on this pathway by obedience, to stay on it so that we both reach our destination and that we avoid the pitfalls and the traps along the way. The short answer is, enjoying God's pathway is how we know God's will. And that flows through the rest of this sermon and the rest of all else we're going to talk about and any other discussion we might study in the scriptures about it. That relationship with God and staying on His pathway, that's how we know God's will. Sometimes I think, I know myself and maybe you as well, we're very eager to skip over the fundamentals and say, yes, but Lord, I need an answer on this one here now. And He's like, all right, but just what about this? We need to get this in place. We need to do A, B, and C, and maybe, just maybe, God's got this thing, and you do need to make a decision here, but He also wants to teach you this. There's this other thing in your life. I remember when it was a good time for me to make a decision towards our relationship with Cherry or not, I asked the Lord to teach me not just should I know whether I should go forward with Cherry or not, whether that was His will, but also to learn how to know God's will. What are His methods of dealing? So the next time something of nearly as important circumstance came up, I would know. Maybe there's a challenge or a frustration at work. Maybe there's some setback or a difficulty and we need to know how to respond. And true, we need an answer on that. But as we walk on God's pathway, He's also teaching us some character development, some sanctification, some more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get the package deal. We get the answer here and we get more of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. Enjoying walking on God's way, obedience. That is the first part here. So, He delighteth in His way, walking in obedience. Our second point for tonight is back at the beginning of the verse. The steps of a good man. The steps of a good man. Now, good man's pretty interesting there. You'll notice the good is italicized, and the word man has quite a particular context. Man means valiant or a warrior. Someone who is fit and equipped, brave and courageous, ready to go to battle. I don't think any of us are immediately preparing to put on our car keys and pick up a weapon. But at the same time, we want to be fit for God's work. So maybe we think about it this way. A good man is one who is prepared for God's work. One who is ready to be used. One God who can use at that time. The steps of one who God can use are ordered by the Lord. Surely that's where each of you and I want to be. Then we come to steps, and we think again of our bushwalk. Steps are incremental. They're one after another. God did not say the train tracks of a good man, as if you hop on once and you keep going forever. He said the steps, because you make a choice, and then another choice, and then another choice. Now it's true that yesterday's choice influences today's choice, but that doesn't mean I need to choose today. I need to choose today. So we have steps. We have a place to set our foot one after another. We see that His word is a lamp unto our feet in Psalm 119. It's a little candle or something like that that illuminates the next little bit so that we can step forward, step by step by step. And that's important to remember that God did not give us train tracks per se, but steps. And in that, we do have big decisions, but He packages them in small steps. He wants us to go one at a time, day by day, moment by moment. We see how He builds upon line, precept upon precept. That is God's way to take us one step at a time. Can I ask you to come over with me to Ephesians chapter 5 as we expand this idea of walking steps along the pathway? Ephesians chapter 5. Just like to read two or three verses here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You'll notice that verse 9 is in parentheses. So in one way, it's okay for a short time to read, walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Can I suggest to you that part of the walking we do is proving what is acceptable unto the Lord? Think about how God has us on a pathway to teach us his will step by step. And as we come into Ephesians, we see that walking, going step by step, is how we prove what is acceptable, prove what is God's will. Walking is about individual steps one after another. Walking also means we're active. We're continual. We're constant. We are moving. Think about a sailboat. I like sailboats. Let's have sailboats in every sermon. Think about a sailboat where it can't move anywhere without any wind. You have to have wind to push the sailboat because it can't steer without. Or even a motorboat. If you take the power off a motorboat, it's equally subject to the tides and the currents. It's always going to end up on the rocks. We need to be moving forward to be able to be steered. We need to be moving forward, walking step by step, and able to be steered. Then verse 10, proving, Ephesians 5:10. Proving. Another interesting word, to approve by testing, to put something to the test, to give it a go. We might think about a pair of new hiking boots we're taking on our bushwalk. Let's try them out. We'll put them on, we'll lace them up, and go and walk our 10 kilometres. And at the end, we'll know whether we bought quality boots or not, but whether they got blisters or not. Are these good boots? Are they quality ones? Let's find out. Let's try. Let's give it a go. And then finally, I'll read for you 2 Corinthians 5:7 with the idea of faith. The steps of a good man have to be in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." One definition for faith might be taking what God has told us into new and unknown circumstances. You see, God has already given us some true things. He has told us much, given us a lot of light. And sometimes we need to walk over into darkness. Sometimes there are things that are unknown. Walking by faith means that I continue to act with these things as true over into the new space. When I come into the unknown, I don't throw out all the rules. I don't forget about God and how he works and our relationship together. I bring all that across with me into the new discussion. Walking by faith is to remember what's true about God. And it's not walking by sight. It's not leaning to my own understanding or to my own feelings, but it's going on what he has said is true. So we think of ourselves again on our bushwalk, and we've got the steps of a good man. We're walking in God's way, and then we come to a causeway, some sort of fast-flowing deep river, and there's rocks placed all the way across it. There's an opportunity for us to get from here to there safely, but it's murky water, and we can't see clearly to which rocks are good rocks. Okay, so I'm going to keep walking, and I'll step. I'll try it out. Yes, I need to be in faith. Yes, I need to be praying, as we also said before. Yes, I need to be in righteousness. And when all those things are together, sometimes we just need to step out and try a rock. If it's an important decision or a big rock, maybe we want to start with a tiptoe and just a little bit. You know, when I started praying about charity, I didn't go out and buy a ring. I was really sure. I just step by step. But then we try it out, and if it holds our weight, okay, good, good. Put my weight on it, and I'll keep going. Mike Coughlin used to say, you know, open the door, put your foot in it. If it slammed, you know it wasn't the right door to keep going in. Give it another go. So with our walking and our causeway, we've got some rocks. Step, see how it goes. Good, all right, put my weight on it, and then I'll keep going. But we're walking step by step. Now, maybe it doesn't hold. Maybe we put a little bit of weight on it. God says, no, not that one. Don't go that one. Or maybe it's the right rock, but it's not ready yet. Maybe it's not in the right time. You know, Paul wanted to preach the gospel in Asia, and God said, well, yes, but not now. So that's okay. Put your foot on it, and God says, okay, come back a bit. So we're going forward step by step, and we're trying each little rock, not forgetting our prayer life, not forgetting our relationship with God, not forgetting to walk in his righteous way, But here we have the steps of a good man, meaning we are acting in faith. And finally, ordered by the Lord. We're back in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This little verse is full of interesting words, and ordered is no exception. Ordered means confirmed, established, made firm. Think about how we're at that causeway and we're putting our foot down. If it holds our weight, it's firm. Our foot is established, it's planted. God has confirmed that step. God has said, that's a good way to go. All right, that's good. That's here. It's established. This is the way, walk ye in it. Think also about another meaning which it has. It says prepared and appointed. Ordered by the Lord also means prepared and appointed. And this reminds us that God is involved. God cares. His loving eye is overseeing all the Christians and all their daily dealings. And the last phrase, by the Lord. We remember that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is by Jehovah himself. This is the King of love. This is the one with all might and all power and all wisdom. And yet this is the one who says, come and call me Abba Father. He cares about our steps. He's interested in what's going on in our lives. Jesus Christ, we remember, also is the one who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens in Revelation 3:7. Jesus Christ is involved in the doors opening and closing in our lives. Firstly, that says, he cares. He's a trustworthy one. He cares about the small things in your and my life. And secondly, that says, he overrules and superintends. If he wants a door open, no one's going to shut it. And if he wants a door shut, not even we can push it open. And that's a good thing, because sometimes we put our foot on a rock, and it's not quite the right one. And when God says, no, don't go through that door, don't step on that rock, that is a good thing. If that is God's leading to shut that door, praise God and let's pull back. God has something better for us. Finally, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, is verse 5 of Psalm 37. Trust also in him. God's disposition towards you and I is blessing. He wants to give good gifts to them that ask him. He offers to give wisdom to those who ask him in faith in James chapter 1. God is trustworthy. When we come to decisions that are enormous, that are big, that worry us, or they're interesting, or we care about them, God is still interested. God still loves us. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't sent us off on our merry way. He's right there with us at the same time, taking investment and time to make sure that we can rest in him, that he is trustworthy. So that means that when we see in verse 34 of the same Psalm 37, wait on the Lord and keep his way, we're comfortable to wait. Sometimes we pray and we feel there's no opportunity. We feel there's even a door blocking us to go and put our foot on the first stone. Now's not the time and it's really difficult. We feel like God says, just wait. Sometimes it's a big thing and we sort of want to pray and wait just of ourselves. It's a good thing to wait on God's leading. We can wait. It is okay to wait. Perhaps all humans of all time, but certainly Westerners in the 21st century are not really good at waiting, and I'm even worse. It's okay to wait. And God is there right with us at the same time while we wait. So we're on our bushwalk. It's okay to go and try a rock. But it's okay if that the rock isn't the one that God wants us to put our foot on. Sometimes it might be unstable, might not take our weight, and we need to step back, maybe go sideways, maybe wait. But in all things, remember that we can trust God in all these. So we begin by asking, how does God lead us? What are his methods for leading us? We saw firstly that we need to walk in righteousness. We're staying on those pathways he's trodden out for us. We need to acknowledge him in all our ways. Seek him in prayer. Bring him down to that circumstance and cast the burden on the Lord. We'll be okay to wait. We pray and we don't feel an opportunity to move forward, be okay to wait. And then if we feel in the Lord that we can go forward, we try a stone and step it out, a little bit of weight first, a little bit more. And if that one's good, then we try for the next one. And we keep walking forward, step by step, maintaining our relationship with the Lord. This is the big area, and there's lots to it. There's heaps more we could talk about, but there's just a few insights that the Lord's given us from Psalm 37. Amen.